And it's my very great pleasure to introduce Ian O'Connor, the Vice-Chancellor of the University, who's been a terrific supporter of Griffith Review, and he'll take to the next stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julianne. Professor Marilyn McManaman, Pro-Vice-Chancellor of Arts, Education and Law, Provost of the South Bank Campus, Emeritus Professor Ian Lowe, who has many roles, which I'll tell you about in a moment, colleagues from Griffith University, my colleague Professor Millicent Poole, the previous Vice-Chancellor of Edith Cowan University. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd first like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land upon which we gather today. I hope people have enjoyed their lunch. I'm particularly pleased that the rain didn't pour in, which is probably a selfish position to take, so that people at least got to have a non-drowned and non-soggy dessert. Today's lunch marks the launch of the 12th issue of Griffith Review. And I've said this to Julianne, she knows this, I actually think this is the best issue. A number of them have really grabbed me, I've really liked, but from day one in relation to Hot Air, I just think it's absolutely fabulous. But it seems to me it's a pretty important event to celebrate a dozen issues of Griffith Review. And I didn't want to let the event go by without actually thanking Julianne and the team. This is a 4 issues a year. It's a pretty extraordinary task to bring out essentially a book of this quality every 3 months, Julianne, and you're surrounded by different versions of them. And I know on the tables there are different ones, but I really wanted to, on behalf of the university, Julianne, thank you for the absolutely stunning job that you've done as editor. I mean, I can't believe you just keep rolling them out. And I also wanted to thank the team that's been involved with it, Jim Nyland, Paul Thwaites, Kathy Wallace, Pamela Coyle, and more recently, Loren Summer, and of course Sharon Bell, who was involved up until recently. So if you could join with me in thanking Julianne and the team. I'll give one other piece of Griffith propaganda before I move on to introduce Ian Lowe. But it's particularly apt, I think, that we're here at the Queensland College of Art, Griffith University, on the South Bank campus. Griffith Review is clearly a publication that the university seeks to influence ideas in the outside world. And in one sense, our South Bank campus physically reflects the best expressions of the university blurring the public and private spaces. It's worth noting that this year we celebrate the 125th anniversary of the Queensland College of Arts. This, of course, makes Griffith University the oldest university in the state. and it is wonderful to celebrate on the Griffith Reach of the Brisbane River. There is just the most wonderful exhibition. If you go down, when you catch the lift down to the bottom floor, if you turn right, across there's the Dell Gallery. There is an exhibition of the most fantastic set of paintings and sculpture from staff and alumni of this institution for the period 1875 to 1976. Stage 2 comes in another month or so. I'd encourage you all just to have a quick look. It's absolutely fabulous. Now, we'll move off my ads and move back to Ian Lowe and the Griffith Review. This issue of the Griffith Review is titled Hot Air, How Nigh Is the End? And it presents a uniquely Australian perspective on global warming, its causes and consequences. It presents the perspectives of a range of experts from a broad variety of fields, including today's speaker, the President of the Australian Conservation Foundation, and an Emeritus Professor of Griffith University, Professor Ian Lowe. It also includes pieces by Murray Sale, Peter Doherty, Geoffrey Blaney, Robin Williams, and so on. The authors explore the issue of climate change and seek to unravel the politics, the science, and the seemingly endless rhetoric. Julianne Schultz, the editor, in her notes to the introduction to this issue, notes that no civilization has ever known so much about the environment, and the weight of this knowledge really bears heavily on our shoulders. If I can quote from Julianne, she says, "Challenging weather patterns, drought, fire, pestilence, and war the horsemen of the apocalypse have played a significant part in the demise of many civilizations. The question is whether we are really masters of our own universe and whether we can prevent it happening again. I don't think there's anyone in any better position than Professor Ian Lowe to actually answer this question. Professor Lowe has made an and I think I'm sure he's known to everyone in this room. I think we could have sold 3 times the ticket, Shin, and we will next time. But Ian was a member of the National Energy Research Development Demonstration Council from 1983 to 1989, a director of the Commission for the Future in 1988. He chaired the advisory council that produced the first independent national report on the state of the environment, 1996. He's a member of the Environmental Health Council, the Radiation and Health and Safety Advisory Council, and he was a member of the Sydney Olympic Park Advisory Committee. He chairs Queensland Government's Task Force on Implementing Reforms in Science Education, is Deputy Chair of the Queensland Sustainable Energy Innovation Group, which advises the state government on energy innovation. He's conducted a wide range of consultancies for governments at all levels and for peak organisations and the private sector. His advocacy, and we all know Ian for his advocacy on environmental issues, including both the Geneva and Kyoto conferences on the parties to the Framework Convention on Climate Change. He was a member of the Australian delegation in 1999 to the UNESCO World Conference on Science, and he was a member of the steering group of the UN United Nations Environment Programme Project Group on the Global Environment Outlook. Ian's had many awards and recognitions, including an Order of Australia, a Centenary Medal, the 2000 Queensland Premier Millennium Award for Excellence in Science, the Prime Minister's Environment Award for Outstanding Individual Achievement, the 2002 Eureka Prize.